Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could all be with us. And boy, the next time we get together for worship, we are already in July. These times of year go by so quickly. But thank you for joining us this morning. As you leave this morning, you may wish to take a copy. This is the July calendar that does begin by the end of this week. And so we're kind of in a summer mode, but especially as you look down towards the end of the month, you're going to see that a lot of stuff is going to start happening here during a time when a lot of times things get really, really quiet around here. But with the Vacation Bible School having been moved back and our Faith Night, which this year is not at the Rays game, but is at Dunedin, mostly because tickets are cheaper, it's a little easier to get to and so forth. We have a lot of things going on here later on in the month. But one thing that I need to make a change here, just right off the bat, if you do remember this when you get your calendars, is that Pictorial Directory Committee meetings are listed here for the 6th and the 20th of July. We need to move those back, each of them a week. Pictorial Directory will now meet on the 13th and the 27th, still at 2:30 in the afternoon, but just a change because of just some things that are on the schedule. One thing that's on schedule for this evening, and it's something that I'm delighted to be a part of, is that Kathy and I, we might spread it around at some point, but we host a home Bible study. For the time being, we're still in the book of Galatians, but we host that the fourth Sunday of each month. Now, next month with the Dunedin baseball game, that fourth Sunday, we won't be doing that next month. But tonight, we're doing it at 6:30. If any of you that would like to try, this is not a huge formal Bible study. There's no videos like what we have here between the services or any of the homework or all the things we have. We just open up our scriptures and spend some time in God's Word after a time of fellowship. So we'll gather for some fellowship about 6:30. If you need directions to the house, don't be afraid to ask for that. So, and then understanding that we are going to have a number of you for different reasons that are going to, before we get around to another worship, are going to be traveling. We're going to be praying for safe travel for a lot of God's people today because roads are going to be getting awfully busy here in the next several days, and at least a few of our people are going to be a part of that. And so please drive safely with all the things that you're going to do. Let us know that you were here this morning, by filling out those faith fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. The only other announcement that I have to make regards that you may have been aware that we had cut way back on portals of prayer. But now, just in the last several weeks, they have finally released an app. For those of you that have got smartphones, just type in portals of prayer in your iTunes store or in the Google Play store. Just punch in portals of prayer, and you'll see that there is an app there where you can continue to view your portals of prayer right off your phone. And of course, if you still want to get paper copies and so forth, those are now easily done. Now we've got anybody can get a subscription to that as they need to. Our order of service this morning is based on Divine Service Setting 1 from our hymnals, page 151. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray together. O God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Lessons from Holy Scripture are appointed for the third Sunday after Pentecost. Our Old Testament reading is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, beginning with verse 7. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him, say all my close friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is found in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. St. Paul writes, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. God's grace, mercy, and peace is with us through all times of opposition, hatred, where it seems everyone is against you. God will be with you. And where he has called you, he will always be with you. Amen. My text for this morning is from the gospel lesson that we heard a little bit earlier when Jesus said, "Have no fear of them. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. So what I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetop." Friends, I want you to imagine a day in your work life that goes a little like this. You get up in the morning after you've gotten yourself ready. One of the first things that you do is you go check your email or phone for whatever it is that you've got, text messages, whatever, usually in follow-up to some things that, some questions you'd ask some people and just some direction that you ask, but instead, you get a series of thinly veiled messages that make it clear that the person that talks to you may or may not answer your question, but they'll make it clear they don't think much of you. You arrive at work. Certain things are missing. A couple projects that you'd set out and just kind of set off to the side all of a sudden are strangely gone. And when it comes time for a couple of meetings you have to go to that day, the moment you walk in, all conversation that's going on amongst the people stops. And while nobody's really going to make eye contact with you, the looks on their faces tell you two things. Number one, they felt like you interrupted them on something. And number two, it's clear that whatever it was they were talking about you. And their faces show that, indeed, whatever's going to go on in that meeting, they're not even going to hide the fact that they don't like you. As your day goes on, it just seems like just wherever it is that you go, you are going to encounter reminders of people and things that are spending more time trying to get rid of you. And by the way, if you ever do go and do the work that you are called to do and it requires you to go out and about someplace, a place not far away or a place really far away, It seems like several of the people that are left behind use that as an opportunity to try to remove you from your job before you get back. And every day is like that. Well, I'll tell you what. For those of you that might be interested in applying for that job, I'll make the lectern available after worship. You can kind of come on up and a little short application you can fill out so you can take that job. And I'm sure there's going to be a nice long line waiting to apply for that, isn't it? Or not. You know, one of the hardest things, and yes, my friends, I have heard this quote. People have said to me, you know, it's not the funnest thing in the world to begin every day knowing that when you arrive at work, pretty much everybody there is going to look at you with disdain and hatred. You get a little tired of it. Well, guess what? As you have gathered here, whether you ever come up to the lectern or not, no, there's no application over there. But as you're seated here as God's people, I'm here to say to you, you should not be surprised when those kinds of things are done to you. Not because of your position at whatever work you've got, not because of your position in your family, but because you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, through the years, I've been in a lot of Bible studies where we go on to passages like this when it talks about, you know, the family turning against each other. And, well, you know, it does seem like, you know, the words family and dysfunction too often go together. When you go back from 25 and 30 years ago, I would have a lot of people say, I don't get this. I mean, why would Jesus even say something like that? I mean, is Jesus like wanting that to happen? And at that point, I usually had something to interject because I would tell them, I said, look, I can tell you about families and the kinds of things that they have had to go through. No, I'm not talking about missionaries overseas. I'm talking about people right here in the United States. I'm not talking about the year 2017. I'm talking about from years and years ago, where especially if one member of the family joined the Christian faith, they would be ostracized from their family. They would be ostracized from their community. They would be separated from all of their friends, and their lives would become, if you will pardon the expression, a living hell. And yes, there are people that we would know. People that, well, like for example, one of the people that I remember going through that and who sat down and talked to me about what his life was like was a former Lutheran Brotherhood agent. Yes, through the years, it seems like Christianity has been treated as the worst possible thing that you could ever do. In our second lesson this morning, and by the way, we have now started a period of time where, with the exception of when we're going to be doing things like Christmas in July and stuff like that, for the next, I don't know how many weeks, our second lesson is going to come from probably Paul's most influential letter, his letter to the Romans. And in that portion for this morning, he was talking about the difference between the types of things that lead to death and the types of things that lead to life. And, well, go through that list and even make a list that would certainly fit those things that lead to destruction and those things that lead to sanctification. It's not hard to figure out what's which. No matter what you put on the list that leads to destruction, you're going to have a hard time today finding anybody who will say something contrary about it. Oh, you want to go off and be a part of this? You want to go do this? You want to engage and participate in these kinds of things? Well, that's okay. I guess that's your choice. To each his own, I suppose. But somehow, let you show forth the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits that are a part of the Christian faith, that which has us following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and now you are a threat? A threat that needs to be dealt with, a threat that needs to somehow be reminded that whether it is that apparently you need to go through sensitivity training or you are now, and they'll call you all kinds of names. Well, friends, I don't intend to spend an entire message depressing us over what the current reality of life is, but that's where we are today. If anybody ever had any questions years and years ago, what those words about somehow the becoming enemies in their own family, you can see it now. You understand it now. You get it now. Being a Christian, while it draws us closer to Jesus Christ, it draws us to the kinds of things by which we can find the types of things that people really want in the world. You want order, you want life that's going to find order? Live your life according to what our Lord and Savior has given us. And then you can see a light that no one else can see. Which is why Jesus said, look, whatever I say to you in the dark, say it in the light. So what if they oppose you? And sometimes you can surprise yourself with the difference you can make. It wasn't that terribly long ago that we had a real, real mess in Ferguson, Missouri. I don't honestly know that I need to go over what happened there, except suffice to say that in the midst of when things were at their worst, of course, Ferguson's a suburb of St. Louis, we just happened to have a seminary in St. Louis, and not just a seminary, but of course our church offices are in St. Louis, and in the midst of all of that, some of our seminarians decided they were going to go out to Ferguson. They were actually going to try to engage some of the people that were doing the rioting, the looting, the destroying. Some of them had to go around police lines. Some of them, admittedly, had to disobey orders, do not go near those people because we cannot protect you. And they did. And yes, at the very beginning, several of the people that were protesting were just wanting to just either walk away or throw a stone at them or whatever. But there were some that at least gave them audience long enough so that they could tell them what they were there to do. And, well, while I'll be giving you the shortened version of it, when the conversation began, every person who was one of those rioters was, shall we say, extremely angry. But an amazing thing happened. All of a sudden, these angry people began to understand that someone was actually listening to them. Someone actually seemed concerned about their plight. Someone was asking the question. Well, you know, I can't be government or anything else like that. What can I do that just might help? And someone actually took the time not only to pray for them, but with them. And when these series of interactions, because there's a whole series of them, were done, the people that were extremely angry, they weren't angry anymore. Many of them went home. Many of them asked those same people to come back the next day. And they would bring other people that they could listen to, they could talk to, they could pray for and with. You see, my friends, we have in our arsenal of faith, if you will use that word, we have more tools at our disposal than we could ever imagine. Where even if hatred is directed at us, we don't need to send it back at anybody in return. Where we can continue to show forth to people that we have a message of hope, and yeah, for a while it may seem a little strange, a little different, but a message of hope it is. Amongst a bunch of people that, if they are living a life of destruction, probably really are looking, wanting to know that there is real hope out there, wanting to be able to see that someone actually cares about them, wanting to know that somebody would actually take the time to pray for them. Now, what happens in the months to come? Do you ever see those people again? Maybe not. But we make a difference by being able to see what our Lord has given to us. Neither I nor anybody else that would stand in this pulpit can change the reality of where we are in society, that we are treated as a threat. We are treated maybe as the worst threat around. We are treated as downright dangerous. We are treated as people that need to be dealt with, but we don't have to stop there. Even accepting where our world is today, one person at a time, one engagement at a time, one person you know at a time, one chance encounter at a time. The Lord has given to us, even as He has changed your heart. He has given you the miracle of faith in the waters of holy baptism. He does the same for many more. For those in the Christian church that are praying in the most heartfelt ways for a Pentecost miracle to take place, well, it may not happen in one day, but again, one person who felt hopeless, one person who is crying out in frustration over what's happening in life, one person whose life has been a living train wreck in the midst of things where they just seem to go from bad to worse, and every choice they make only makes matters worse. We have the opportunity. And why? Because we have a Savior who was actually willing to die, yeah, for you, for your sins, for the things that have been a part of your life, known and unknown. And that same Savior has died for these other people too. And that is the truth that will always go with us. That is the truth we must never leave at home. Hey, okay, but the Savior died for such hatred. The Savior actually said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." The Savior finished His work in this world by giving His life up for them and for you and for everyone. And so, my friends, who knows? In the midst of times of hatred, what you're going to be called, but more importantly, what you are going to be called to. And if it is the Savior who is calling you to things, He is going to be calling you to bring you closer to Him. He is going to be calling you to carry out in the daylight, to shout from the rooftops His goodness, His love, His mercy, and His Savior, His Son who has given life to each and every one of us. What are you called to, my friends? Wake up each and every day, not staring at hatred, but staring at people where Jesus Christ has died for them. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so now we continue in our service by joining Christians throughout the world and confessing our Christian faith. This morning we do it to the words of the Nicene Creed. It is on the inside back cover of your hymnal. You may follow along on the screen. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. We pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for revealing yourself to us in your word, for showing us your holy will, for helping us to be wise and righteous so that we may escape your judgment, for the inspired writers of your word, which because through them you have shown us your forgiving love and given us rich promises of hope, and for pouring out your Spirit on us so that we may grow in knowing and loving you and in experiencing that your word is wisdom and truth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Above all else, for leading us from death to life through the sufferings, death, and resurrection of Jesus, your Savior, before moving us to love you and those about us with a love that is able to speak in the day what is told in the night, to shout from the mountaintops what is whispered, and also to show a love that is not mere words but real and active, and for giving us sympathetic hearts to those in need, that we may share with them the things that you have given us, and that they, through our love, may learn to know your love and praise you. Let us pray to the Lord. For the rule that you have over our nation, for guiding all to whom you have placed into authority, for blessing our society with pure motives, noble goals, moral strength, and for giving us the desire to live before you in loving trust and obedience, let us pray to the Lord. For blessing our homes, for making them places of true learning and love, that all who live in them may find what is true peace, true joy, true harmony, with you and with one another, let us pray to the Lord. For your special protection and help for the sick, sorrowful, the aged, the lonely, those who are facing procedures, times of medication, those who are homebound in hospice care, and also for all of those to whom you have met their needs with your mercy, showing them the wonderful things you have prepared for all your children. We now take a moment in silence to lift up before you someone in our own life that we name before you as needing your special and tender care. Father, hear our prayers. If there is anything else we should have asked for, grant it for the sake of Jesus Christ, who saved us, pleads for us, and has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service concludes at the bottom of page 10 in our service folders. We close as we pray together. Almighty God, as you have done for your people throughout the centuries, defend us from persecution, stand with us in our struggles, give us strength to stand firm in the face of fear and uncertainty, and raise us up with your mighty right hand. Lead us by your Spirit in these last days, as we bring your name to bear in all circumstances, and as we live our lives as your chosen people. For you live and reign as one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessings of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace.